Father God, as we prepare to hear from you through your written word this morning, spoken, may our hearts be open to what you would say to us. Make your word living and active in us. As we take in your word, may it energize us. May it correct us. May it rebuke us if necessary. May we own up to where we fall short and feel your strength pour into those parts of our lives as we give ourselves over to you. Right now, Lord, right here, open our hearts to your word as you speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to talk a little bit about strength and about weakness this morning. And those words that that we see as opposites, that we want to be one, we don't want to be the other, right? We want to be strong, we want to be strong people, we don't want to be seen as weak. And yet we're told that there is an importance in recognizing our weaknesses. And sometimes we have to kind of pick these words apart and see what shades of definitions there are for us in their lives. I see weakness and strength the same way I kind of see control. You know, we talk about we like to be in control of our lives, and there are certain things that we do have a certain amount of control over, but we must always realize that being in control is an illusion. I was thinking about this morning as I drove, came over from the church office, and I was driving down the road, and I had a certain amount of control over which way my vehicle turned and how fast I was going. But I had absolutely no control over the cars in the oncoming lane. None at all. Or those squirrels that we talked about last week. No control at all as they dashed into the street. And when something happens, which praise God it did not this morning, but when something like that happens, you realize how little control you actually have. It's okay to control the things that are given you to control, but remember where you are. And the example, and I know I've used it here before, but I'll use it again, is someone that says that they're always in control, but they always take a back seat in the airplane, right? You know, they leave the control of the aircraft over to someone that knows how to fly it. They don't go and insist that they get the front seat on an airplane. Well, this is the same way with strength. We want to be strong in the areas that we're given to be strong. We do want to be strong people with courage. We want to be strong people with our faith to be strong. But we have to realize that there is a limit and an area to our own personal strength. It's kind of like if we were to watch a house being built and they were using 2x4s to build a house with, that would be sufficient for building that house. They can build a strong house out of that kind of lumber. But earlier this summer, my family, we took a boat ride underneath the new Indian River Bridge. Had I driven under the Indian River Bridge and seen that it was built out of pine 2x4s, I would have found a different way to drive home. The strength would not have been sufficient for the task. And this is what we have to realize about ourselves. You know, Paul said that he learned the secret. Paul learned the secret, right? He said, I know what it's like to be in want, and I know what it's like to live with plenty. I know what it's like to be hungry, and I know what it's like to be well fed. But I've learned the secret to be content in all those circumstances. Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There's a secret to that strength, and that secret is it's not of ourselves, right? But it is offered to us and available to us. I have seen just over and over again this week in myself and in people I've been around, circumstances that have really sapped personal strength. You know, I thank Carl for coming up and sharing this morning. And I know this is that took strength to do that, and I know where that strength came from, but I also know that it's been a very difficult time. And I walked through here Friday evening and saw a little 10-year-old boy laying up here, and I saw his family gathered around. And I know that there's no strength of our own that can cover a circumstance like that. It can't happen. We don't have it. So I'm going to be reading a little bit from the 11th and 12th chapters of this Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. I was going to start with chapter 12, and you really have to back up a little bit. You know, when Paul wrote these letters, as with the rest of Scripture, there were no chapters and verses given. And though they're very handy for us to find things in the Bible, they can sometimes be a disruption of thought. This was written as a letter. This book was written as an entire letter. It was written from the beginning to the end and meant really to be read that way. So we're going to start in chapter 11. I won't start at the very beginning of the book. We'll start in chapter 11, verse 30. And Paul has been talking about things that he's been through up until this point. Actually, let's go back to verse 28. I'll try not to keep backing up too far. Paul says, "Besides everything else, I face the daily pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak, and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin, and I do not inwardly burn? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus, who is to be praised forever, knows that I am not lying. In Damascus, the governor under King Aretas had the city of Damascenes guarded in order to arrest me, but I was lowered in a basket from a window in the wall and slipped through his hands. I must go on boasting, although there is nothing to be gained. I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise. He heard inexpressible things, things that man is not permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool because I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say. To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses and insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." This is an interesting passage of Scripture, and at first reading, at first listening, if you're not familiar with Paul's writings, it sounds almost a little silly. There's this talk about this vision that he had about being carried up into the third heaven. Most people think he actually is talking about himself at that point. It's not the point of the story. He's saying, "I have seen and heard marvelous things." That doesn't make me anything. It was done for the glory of God. I have seen and I have heard marvelous things, but that makes me nothing. It was done for the glory of God. What is worth talking about is where I am weak. In my shortcomings, there the strength of Christ is truly shown. We've heard this. We think about this. We talk about this. I want to pause just for a minute and say something else. I don't know if you can see this or not, but this is in the book of 2 Corinthians, which is way past the last gospel and way past the beginning of the book of Acts, right? Jesus was born and died, was resurrected and ascended. But in my Bible, if you have one of those where Christ's words are in red, here in 2 Corinthians, the words of Christ are in red. What a beautiful reminder of the living Christ. Of the living Christ. Here. And Paul, just the way this was written and what he's talking about, he was told these words by a living Christ. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. We have to understand that our strength has a limit. We can only do so much. We can only go so far. And when we finally realize that and submit ourselves to it, the power of God can pour in to that vacuum, pour into that place. The evident power of the Holy Spirit can become real when we get out of the way. The unfortunate thing is, in a way, is that we have the power to keep that from happening by ignoring our weaknesses. We also ignore the strength of God. But by accepting our weakness. It's kind of like this. I want to take my family on a trip in the car to California. And I'm determined that I'm going to push the car the whole way. There's power to move that car under the hood. But only when I recognize that I'm incapable of taking on that task. I would be incapable of completing that task. I could move some. We could go a little bit. We would struggle, but we could move some, and I might think in my mind that I'm doing a wonderful thing, but only when I submit myself to the understanding, to the realization that I am not capable of completing the task, and then I sit in the seat and I access the power that's available to take us on our journey. And this is the way we are in our lives. We can get by. We can move along. And to the eyes of the world, we may look like we're doing fine. But we're not getting where we need to be if we're going under our own power. We're struggling when we need not struggle. We struggle when there's power available to us to move, to get going, to get to the next place. To go where we're called. For God is calling us to someplace greater than we are now. Eventually into eternity, but even now there's a better place for us to be. But we can't rely on our own strength to get there. This is a daily task. It's a daily struggle to recognize. Because it's uncomfortable to say, I'm not capable. But again, this is a lie that's being whispered in our ear because we know that there are many things that we have to ask for help with, right? If we're going to move a big sofa, we're going to get someone to take the other end, right? If we have something heavy to lift, if we need that ride and we don't have a car, we ask for help when we need it. And yet we deny the help that's offered to us so often by assuring ourselves that we're capable on our own. But man, deep down, in the dark, in the quiet, we all really know that weak spot. We all really know when we face ourselves in the mirror where that weakness is. What do we do with it? What do we do in that moment? You know, eating right and exercising make ourselves strong, and that helps us if we get ill. It might help us to recover, but it doesn't help us when that diagnosis of cancer comes. It doesn't help us when we lose someone that we love. It doesn't help us in an eternal sense at all. That's why Paul said, physical exercise is of some value. But we come to that place where we're hurting and we're weak and we don't want to show anyone. What do we do? What do we do? I would suggest we consider what Paul wrote in his letter to the Romans in the 8th chapter. In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. There's teaching, and I verbally beat up a lot of these guys on TV, but probably not enough, because there's so much poor teaching. And there's this teaching that if you pray it the right way, God's got to do it. I heard a guy say that. If you do it this way, then God must respond to your question. Well, we just heard Paul, right? He asked 3 times, remove this thorn from my flesh. God said, my grace is sufficient. And this tells us we don't even know how to pray. We don't know what to ask for. But it's okay. When we're bewildered, when we're lost, when we're spinning our wheels, when we don't know what to do, when we don't know how we're going to handle that next thing, that illness or that financial crisis, we don't know what to do, that's when God will really come in and show Himself. It says right here that the Spirit intercedes, and the Spirit who searches our hearts, and the Spirit who knows us better than we know ourselves, will go to the King on the throne with the response that it is in accordance with His will for our lives. We sometimes ask for things we shouldn't get. And if you've been around me very much, you've heard me talk about this. It's like small children ask for things they shouldn't have, right? They want cake at 3 p.m. They want to touch the burner on the stove. No matter how they ask, no matter how polite they are, no matter how much they plead, no matter how much they might throw a tantrum, no good parent is going to lift his child up and let him touch the stove, right? They're not going to let them do it. And the God that loves us is not going to give us things that we shouldn't have. Even if we really, in our own spiritual immaturity, we really, really want it. But see, we're weak. We have that weakness. One of those weaknesses is we think we're as smart as God, and we know what we should have. But the truth is, God knows best. We don't always know what we want. And I'd like to liken that passage to an infant crying because it's uncomfortable. And it can't even define what is making him uncomfortable. There's a point where they just know that they're upset. They may need to be held. They may need to be changed. They may need to be fed. But mom comes, and she knows what to do. She lifts the child up, and she does what's needed. She didn't hear, please feed me. She didn't hear, please change me. But the mother knows what the child needs and responds with the correct thing. How much more our Father in heaven knows us. And when we're hurting, we don't have to define. We don't have to go to God with the list. Lord, give me A, B, C, and D, and I'll take care of E, F, and G. We just need to fall on our faces before a loving God and admit to Him, Lord, we can't handle this. God, I can't do this on my own. and feel the power of His Holy Spirit pour in and manifest itself. And you'll see things happen beyond your own belief. Now, I believe in healing. I believe in visually miraculous things that take place. But I'm not even talking about those things. I'm talking about just the ability to stand up and make the phone call to that person you're upset with. I'm talking about the ability to reach out to the estranged child. Talking about the ability to sit down with peace on your heart even when you've gotten that diagnosis. That can't come from within unless it's the Spirit of God that is within us. But the great news is it's promised to us. Just don't keep it out. Church, this is where we often fail, is not taking the gift that God offers. I love that passage. I talk about it over and over again, that God desires to pour out on us out of the riches of the storehouses in heaven. Whew. And we're picking up scraps. We must admit to ourselves what our weaknesses are. We've got to. And we do it in all other parts of our lives, right? We see people do it, right? What do they do during the NFL draft? They look for their needs, right? They look for where they're short and they try to build those things up. You know, we any time that we have something that we need, we look for some way to fulfill that need. So I'm just asking that when the weakness is here, that you reach here. When the weakness is here, that you look here. And that you receive what God is wanting to give you. And let His strength, allow His strength to be shown through you. And in addition to helping you and lifting you up, it's amazing what those around you will see and how God will be glorified. Amen.